Welcome to the Natural Health 365 podcast, natural solutions for everyday problems. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit naturalhealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Landsman.
All right, thank you for joining us. Our show today, Curing Cancer, a roadmap to success. What would you do if you were diagnosed with cancer? If you're like most, feelings of fear, anger, and a loss of hope would be all too easy to have. And although I've never been diagnosed with cancer, I do know a thing or two about facing seemingly insurmountable situations in my life. And thanks to my athletic upbringing, I know that giving up is not an option and that a great mental attitude is so important. But just in case that's not enough for you, today on the Natural Health 365 podcast, I have a very special guest who was diagnosed with cancer and has been able to successfully overcome this dreaded condition without the need for chemotherapy. Bottom line, if you're willing to put in the work and really want to overcome a cancer diagnosis, there is a way, and that's exactly what we'll talk about today. Before we meet our special guest, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. And now, please join me in welcoming Chris Wark to our show. Chris, welcome.
Hi, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you, Chris. Now, I know your story's out there. A lot of people have heard it, but a lot of people may be given this podcast who don't know anything about you. They know very little about the Natural Health 365 podcast, and that's good. We like that. This is a tool to get out there for people. So for people who don't know your story, you had stage 3 colon cancer, but talk to us. Why did you refuse chemotherapy after your surgery?
Yeah, well, one thing people need to know too is I was 26 years old when I was diagnosed, and this was December 2003. And at that time, stage 3 colon cancer in young adults was extremely rare. And since then, it has become increasingly more and more common. In fact, it's one of the fastest growing segments of cancer is in young adults, especially colon and breast cancer, because my generation was the fast food generation, right? I grew up on McDonald's and Wendy's and Taco Bell and Burger King, whereas my parents did not. So I made a very difficult decision to say no to chemotherapy after I had surgery. And the doctors basically told me I needed 9 to 12 months of chemotherapy because they knew with stage 3C colon cancer, it's metastatic. I mean, it's advanced cancer, and surgery doesn't cure advanced colon cancer. If it did, colon cancer would not be the second leading cause of cancer death. So I was faced with this really, really scary diagnosis and serious prognosis. And at the same time, the idea of poisoning my way back to health didn't make sense. And listen, I had no experience with cancer. I'd never had any family go through it, no friends go through it. I was completely clueless about the cancer industry, about treatments, about everything. But my instincts and my intuition were telling me chemo is toxic, it's poisonous, and it just, I couldn't make sense of it, right? I couldn't make sense of, you're going to make me worse and make me sicker in order for me to get better. And I just felt like it was going to be so harmful and destructive to my body, you know, that it would hurt me more than help me. But I didn't have any resources. I didn't know what to do or who to talk to or where to go. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's not exactly the mecca of integrative and alternative medicine. In fact, it's pretty backwoods. And but there was one Whole Foods in the whole city and one naturopath in 2004. So I'm at home recovering from surgery, and I was supposed to start chemo in about a month, and I just didn't have a good feeling about it. I didn't know what to do. So my wife and I prayed about it, and I just said, God, you know, hey, if there's another way, please show me, because I don't know what to do. Like, I, you know, it was just this simple prayer of desperation, really, me reaching out, asking for help. And 2 days later, I got a book that was mailed to me from a man I'd never met who knew my dad. And this book was about healing cancer with raw food. And as soon as I started to read it, I learned that the author had healed his own colon cancer with the raw food diet. And I was like, wow, this is it. Like, this is the answer to my prayer right here. This is what I'm going to do. And it made a lot of sense to me. The idea that, you know what, cancer is a Western disease. Many types of cancer, including colon cancer, are caused by our diet and lifestyle. And if my diet was causing my disease, then maybe changing my diet could reverse it and could heal my body. And so I loved that idea. It just made so much sense to me, and I got excited about it. So I immediately converted overnight to a 100% raw, you know, whole foods, organic diet, and bought a juicer and started juicing carrots like crazy. And, you know, and then I found other books and started reading, researching, and went on this, you know, sort of just kind of like wild information, just quest, you know, to find and learn as much as I could, as quickly as I could. And it was actually pretty tough because the internet wasn't helpful. This was January 2004, and there were no great sites. And all I had to go on were a handful of books. And I didn't have any way of meeting other people who'd healed naturally. I was really desperate to meet and get encouraged by other people, and I didn't know how to find them. I thought they were out there somewhere, but I just didn't know how to, you know, connect with them. And so I was very much alone. And that was really, really tough. It was really, really hard. My wife didn't understand what I was doing. She wanted me to do chemotherapy. A lot of family members tried to intervene and tell me I was making a huge mistake and that I had to do what the doctor said. And I was surprised to find that all the support I had in the beginning when I was diagnosed, it basically had evaporated once I told people I wasn't going to do chemotherapy. I know a lot of cancer patients have been in that same situation where, you know, something doesn't feel right to them and it's their life. You know, they want to do what they want to do, but people around them are only offering conditional support, right? I'll support you if you do this, but not if you do that. And emotionally, psychologically, that's really, really tough. But that's where I was. So I just had to, you know, I just had to power through. I just had to accept the fact that, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have to do it alone. And I found a naturopath who supported me. He connected me with an integrative oncologist who supported me. And slowly I was able to build a support system around myself that just kind of like kept me going when I was feeling discouraged and uncertain and scared through the process. And of course, I had blood work done every month, and I had some CAT scans done every 6 months for the first few years. And, you know, we were just keeping a very close eye on things. My risk of recurrence was very high, and I had immunosuppression. But gradually over time, my body healed, and I just got better and better and healthier and stronger. And it was just an amazing journey to go from sick, you know, when I went and saw the oncologist, really just because family members were pressuring me to go. I didn't even want to go, but I went and saw him, and he told me I had a 60% chance of living 5 years with treatment, which is not encouraging. And he told me, I asked him if there were any alternative therapies available. And he said, no, there are none. If you don't do chemotherapy, you're insane. And really just used a lot of fear and intimidation to manipulate me and convince me to do chemotherapy, right? He really tried his best to convince me through fear and almost had me in the system. I was so, you know, I walked into that clinic confident in what I was doing and really excited about how I was feeling. And I'd been on the raw food diet for a week. And then after our meeting, I was so afraid because of the way he talked to me that I made an appointment to start chemotherapy. And fortunately, I had a few weeks before that was going to happen. And I had time to kind of gather my thoughts and get my, you know, kind of re-examine and evaluate my life and think about what I really wanted to do so I didn't show up for chemo. But again, the pressure was very, very real, and it was all around me. And the support was very thin. So I got well. And then fast forward 7 years later, I started a blog and just wanted to share my story. You know, I just wanted to encourage people. I knew there were cancer patients out there that were probably thinking like me, that probably wanted to heal, wanted to use nutrition and natural non-toxic therapies and didn't know where to start or what to do. And so I started that site. And so a lot of people found me and the website grew, and it really just sort of took over my life. And I realized, wow, this is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And I started coaching cancer patients one-on-one in my spare time. And then that grew and grew. And then the demand got to be so much that I couldn't even keep up with that. And so what I did, now it's been 7 years since I started that blog, and it is my full-time passion, my full-time profession. And it's just so much more rewarding and fulfilling than my previous profession, which was real estate. But what I did this year was something really, really awesome. I took everything that I take a cancer patient through, everything I teach them, and I put it all in a course, because every day I'm contacted by cancer patients and their friends and family and loved ones. And they're saying, hey, I love your site. I love the interviews you've done. Like, I'm so encouraged. I know I need to change my life. I want to heal cancer. I just don't know where to start. What do I do? Where do I start? Now there's too much information, right? There's too many websites, too many opinions, and everyone's confused. And so this program takes a patient from zero, right? I don't know anything, and gives them an action plan so they can change their whole life. And I created, and it's designed in the same way that I would coach a cancer patient one-on-one. So it's very, very systematic, straightforward, step-by-step, life-changing stuff. And, you know, some of it is the educational component, and the other part is the action.
So, Chris, this is, I think, a really big question, and it's something I know you like to talk about. What would you say that is the biggest problem that cancer patients don't even know they have?
Yeah, the biggest problem that cancer patients don't know they have is they don't know what they don't know. It's ignorance. And so I had this same problem, and every patient I've ever talked to had this problem, is they get a diagnosis and they don't know the right questions to ask. And they're told very little from their doctor about what's next. You know, they're basically told, well, you need these treatments. And yes, you know, you might lose your hair, and we have some other drugs to give you to help with that, you know, with the side effects of the treatments. And they may be given a survival percentage, and that's it. And the truth is, like, there's so many important questions they need to ask that they don't know to ask. So, for example, like, how many patients have you treated that have my diagnosis that are still alive after 5 years, right? And can I speak to some of them? Can I talk to two or three of those, or four or five of those patients, just to get a reference, right? I mean, we ask for references from our carpenter, right, who's going to repair some rotten wood on our windowsill, but we don't ask for references from the doctor who we're trusting to save our life. I mean, that's crazy. And so most patients have no idea how brutal the treatments are. They're not told what the side effects are of most chemotherapy treatments. And chemotherapy drugs, they damage the body head to toe. It's not, they don't target cancer, even though everybody likes to talk about targeted cancer therapy. Chemotherapy drugs are causing brain damage, liver damage, lung damage, heart damage. They wreck your digestive tract. They destroy your immune system. They cause nerve damage, peripheral neuropathy, where you lose feeling in your fingers and toes. They can cause hearing loss. I mean, it is head to toe collateral damage. Not to mention the fact that some chemotherapy drugs cause secondary cancers. So different types of cancers like leukemia or lymphoma to form in the body. And they can make existing cancers more aggressive. And so one of my missions is just, again, not to scare people out of chemotherapy or talk people out of chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, but to give them all of the information to fully inform them so they can really make a wise decision.
Yeah, Chris, you know, I'm one of the first people to say in all of our programs, it's easy to misconstrue what I do here at Natural Health 365. I'm not trying to convince anybody. out of whatever it is they want to do. If someone decides to do chemotherapy and radiation, they want to do the surgery, they want to do conventional medicine, and they absolutely feel like that is the best course of action, then that's what they should do. My late dear friend, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez, he felt the same way. I've interviewed Dr. Bernie Siegel many times. He had the same kind of attitude for years when I've done programs with him, that he would teach people, look, I'm not trying to convince you to do anything, but to be fully informed, that's something I feel that most people are not. You should hear both sides, the passion of conventional doctors who just believe in their heart of hearts, this is the way to go. Perhaps it's the only thing they know, and maybe it's not really accurate what they're saying, but you should have the ability, the right, and the access to hear that kind of information and have the same kind of easy access and ability to hear the kind of information that you have, Chris, which is why I have you on the podcast. And it's the kind of thing I've been talking about a lot lately in the last year and a half or so that has become increasingly more difficult for people to have access to, especially when it comes to the internet, which a lot of people perceive as being so easy. Just go on the internet, search and find something. But it's all being contrived, and that's for a whole other show. But I can tell you from personal experience that a lot of this search engine activity is being driven by Google, the Facebook, the YouTube. It's all being run by the same basic large controlling interests. And what people are seeing is a very, very limited point of view. And I think that above anything else is really the scariest part. So I'm with you, Chris. People should be fully informed and make a decision that feels best for them. I want to get into, Chris, some of the things that you feel caused your particular cancer, which should be very interesting to hear. And also, I want to get from you what you feel the most powerful diet and lifestyle habits to prevent and heal cancer. That'll be important information as well. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Okay, so Chris, let's talk about what you feel really caused your particular cancer. What was going on there?
Well, yeah, colon cancer has been known for many, many decades. I mean, even going back to the 1940s, research from Dr. Dennis Burkitt in rural Africa. When Dr. Burkitt was down there working in missionary hospitals, he noticed that the rural Africans didn't have colon cancer. They didn't have colitis, Crohn's disease, diverticulitis, hemorrhoids. They had no digestive diseases. They also had no heart disease. And yes, they had infectious disease problems, but many of our most common cancers, breast, colon, lung, and ovarian, cervical, many of our most common cancers were absent in rural Africa. And he surveyed hundreds of hospitals. It wasn't just like one little hospital. Hundreds of hospitals across Africa, and they were all reporting the same thing. No, we're not seeing those cancers. And so that kind of led Burkitt to become a researcher. And what he discovered was that the diet and lifestyle of the rural Africans was very different than the diet and lifestyle of Americans and Europeans. They were eating tons of plant food. They were eating a plant-based diet. They weren't vegans, but they were eating tons of starchy vegetables, potatoes, beans, of course, some cruciferous vegetables, turnip greens, mustard greens. They were subsisting on starchy plant food, fruits and vegetables, and were eating very little meat and dairy and no processed food, no junk food. And, of course, getting fresh air and sunshine and lots of physical exercise, not because they were going to the gym, because they weren't doing that, but just many of them worked with their hands every day, right? Working in the garden, hunting, building things, whatever. They were very active and very low stress. And these are the common factors that you see all over the world in the healthiest, longest living populations of people. Is that they eat a plant-based diet, they have very low stress, they get lots of fresh air, exercise, and sunshine. And so colon cancer specifically is a disease caused by the Western diet. Too much meat and dairy, junk food, fast food, processed food. That's what causes colon cancer. So I know there's a lot of contributing factors, of course. So I can't say that one thing caused it, but I know I have a big long list of causes for colon cancer, and they almost all center around the Western diet, the standard American diet.
So Chris, just to be clear, I mean, was it fast food with you? Is it like really low fiber, your activity level? I mean, all of those things were basically the opposite of what you say he found in these cultures. I mean, was that what you were engaged in, just really like junky, regular standard American diet?
Absolutely. Yeah. My first birthday party was at McDonald's, and I grew up eating the standard American diet, meat 3 times a day, dairy 3 times a day, drinking milk every day, eating cheese, eating fast food all the time. And then, in my teenage and college years, eating junk food and fast food all the time, every day. I've always been thin, so I never had to worry about my weight. I never had to think about eating healthy. I just assumed I had a free pass and I could eat whatever I wanted. And I was pretty much a junk food connoisseur.
And Chris, I'm sure you would agree that as you're aging, and I don't mean that in a funny way, and as you're out there helping a lot more people, man, have things changed. I mean, I'm 52 right now. And so we're looking at things like in the 70s and the 80s and kind of where you grew up in through the, early mid 90s, and you start developing your own cancer, many years before your diagnosis. It's a whole different ball game. And what's happening now to a generation of people like my daughter's age in the mid 20s and 30s, these kids out there who are growing up from the 90s and 2000s into today, we're looking at glyphosate, we're looking at the increasing amounts of poisons, environmental toxins that are out there, that I think there's going to be a much larger growing audience of people who are going to be very interested in this topic at earlier and earlier years. Because like what you said, there was no internet. It was kind of strange that you had stage 3 colon cancer at 26. I mean, that's really weird. I don't know how strange that's going to be as we keep moving forward as a society that hasn't really changed yet enough to stop this trend. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, diseases like cancer, most cancers, heart disease, diabetes, these are Western diseases. It's not a term I made up. This is a term that was coined decades ago by researchers like Dr. Dennis Burkitt, who I mentioned earlier, who had this revelation that, wait a second, the Western industrialized nations have all these chronic diseases, but the third world countries don't.
I want to talk to Chris about how support, which he mentioned earlier, could maybe help you or hurt you, depending on the kind of support you have around you. And I want to definitely talk about his Square One program, which goes from, ground zero, nothing about how to maybe change things around, and you really need to, or else your health is going to go south in a very serious way, especially if you're diagnosed with cancer. And I can't imagine anyone listening to this program wanting to die prematurely of cancer. So we're going to talk about his program that takes you from day one all the way through the program, touching on all the things you need to know. I definitely want to get into that at the end of the program, but my point is very clear and simple right now. Please don't disregard this information because you're not diagnosed with cancer. If you have abdominal pain, if you're having real trouble in your thinking processes, and I'm not trying to put you down, but if you're just reading a page in a book and you're nodding off and you can't concentrate on what's being said by somebody, or you can't read pages without falling asleep, if you have body aches and pains, if you have any kind of real anxiety about cancer, for me, that's your intuition firing off a huge alarm inside of you that, hey, maybe something has to, change. Maybe you feel like you're being exposed to too many toxins and you ought to make a change sometime soon. Well, stop putting it off. That's my point. Because the sooner you can make changes that really feel good, the sooner you can start working on always inhibiting cancer cell growth. We all have cancer cells. It's about our lifestyle. And I know that's what Chris is here for, to help each and every person every step of the way. That's why I consider his work so important. And Chris, I want to definitely get into the support aspect, because although it doesn't seem to be so direct, like, hey, Chris, what kind of herb should I take to kill cancer cells? What kind of vitamin? What kind of mineral? You know, just give me the remedy already that can kill these cancer cells. Support mechanisms, people around you, what they think, how they roll their eyes, what they say to you, that matters a lot about whether you're going to be successful at something or not. Going back to my athletic upbringing, I know all too well how it's important to have a very successful team around you, or else you will not perform at a high level. I want to talk about that and your Square One program in just a moment, but one last time, I want to thank our sponsor, Livon Labs, makers of the highest quality nutritional supplements on the market. The difference is in the delivery system. To learn more, visit livonlabs.com. That's livonlabs.com. Okay, Chris, we're just closing out the show. Just in a nutshell, this is a really big topic for me. This importance of a support system around you. And how important is it? I mean, at least according to you and what you tell others. And what happens if you don't get it?
Having a support system makes it a lot easier, right? And in the beginning for me, I didn't have one. I had my mom. Okay. And that was it. Like, my mom was the only person who supported my decision in the beginning. And my wife and I are still married. We have the best relationship we've ever had, but she really just didn't understand. She couldn't understand. And she was really afraid that I was making the wrong decision, that I was going to die. And a lot of the other people around me had the same thought and the same thoughts and feelings, right? They love me, but they really thought I was making this grave mistake. And that created a lot of stress for me. Okay. So some people listening, you know what, maybe you'll have people around you that support you. And they're like, I totally get it. Yes. Nutrition. Let's try to heal your body. Let's try to build it up. You know, let's do everything we can. And then other people are going to say, no, you just need to do what the doctor says. Well, guess what? Sometimes in life, we don't get to pick our circumstances, right? And you find yourself either with support or without support. And if you don't have support, you have to press on, right? You have to just take control of your life and say, you know what? This is my life. These are my choices. I'm going to do what's best for me, like it or lump it, right? And the nice thing is the people that thought I was crazy in the beginning now think I'm a genius. So they think I'm pretty smart, even though they are all critical of me and thought I was wrong. The nice thing is that support will come to you, right? So even though you don't have it in the beginning, once you start on the healing journey, you will find people and people will find you. And the scariest part is really just getting started, stepping out into the unknown, saying no to something that everyone says you need to do and have to do because it doesn't agree with you. And this is something I say all the time. Don't do anything that you don't agree with, that doesn't make sense to you, that you don't have peace about, right? So I'm not saying don't do chemo. I'm saying don't do anything that you don't have peace about in your heart, okay? And something you said earlier that reminded me, I wanted to touch back on is, you know, you and I both want to inform people so they make wise decisions. And when someone makes a decision, you know, I'm going to do chemo, I'm going to do conventional therapy, whatever, the question I like to ask, and I wouldn't challenge them, but the question I just like to ask just to see where their head is at is say, now, why are you confident in that therapy? You know, what made you decide to do it? And a lot of times what I find is that people are doing it out of fear. So they're not making a decision to do conventional therapy because they've read and researched and are confident in it. They're doing it because they're so afraid not to do it. And let me just tell you, a fear-based decision is never the right decision. Fear-based decisions almost always get you results you don't like, right? And put you in positions you don't want to be in. What I'll encourage people, your listeners and anyone to do is make a faith-based decision, right? Inform yourself and make a decision based on what you've learned, the knowledge you've acquired, and based on confidence and faith and instead of fear. That's a big thing, right? Is choosing faith over fear and not letting fear dictate your actions. People say to me sometimes this, they'll say like, wow, that was so courageous of you to say no to chemo or whatever. And, you know, my response is, I didn't feel brave or courageous. You know what I felt? I felt afraid. And I learned during the process that courage is making a decision to do something in spite of fear. So courage feels like fear. It's the same feeling, you know? Courage is going forward into battle when you're afraid and when you want to turn around and run the other way. That's courage. So courage is not a feeling. It's just a choice, right? It's a choice to go forward into fear, right? To step into your into what you're afraid of, into the unknown, step out in faith. And then, you know, for me, trust God to see me through it. And he did. Here I am.
Chris, no doubt, my high-performance athletic training, which I referred to at the beginning, and helping others, which is what I used to do before I was on the internet, is helping high-performance athletes, really speaks to what you just said. It's so easy to say, oh, those high-performance athletes, those super successful people, even in business or whatever they do, oh, it's just so easy for them. Their circumstances, they have more money, they had a better education, and yada, yada, yada. Absolutely not true. By and large, the vast majority of them are doing things that are just as scary to them. They are just as unsure as the average person who shies away, who wants to quit sooner, who doesn't believe that they can get something done. What happens is they are doing things with much more thought involved, which is what I kept hearing you lace into this whole conversation is, hey, man, I was afraid, but then I was going to do that chemotherapy appointment, but then it was like 2-3 weeks or so before the appointment was going to go down, and I thought about it more. I collected myself. I was thinking about what I really want to do. I solidified that for myself and then forged forward. That's what a high-performance athlete does in very, very precarious, scary, uncertain, high-pressure, stressful situations. Oh, my God, they look like it's so easy for them. No, they're very, very focused on exactly what they want to do, and they're 100% all in. And you know what? This is the thing that really freaks people out when I say it, especially the kids that I used to teach a lot about this concept. Yes, they want to win. Yes, they want to be successful. Sure, Chris, you wanted to be free of cancer and not have to be so afraid anymore. But they're almost not even concerned about the results as much as they are, hey, this is what I want to do. I am all in. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And it's growing in that process of always feeling like, this is what I'm doing next. Today I'm doing this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. And it's really thinking a lot more. Now, why am I spending so much time saying this? Because emotions are far more powerful than what we think we want to do. So if we don't have much thought behind what we're doing, and then the doctor says you have cancer, or the coach says, you know, this is going to be really tough. I don't think you're going to do it. If the emotions are there that, oh my God, and panic and fear, and you have no thought about what exactly to do, oh my God, that's going to run over you like a truck. It's going to flatten you out. You know what I'm saying, right?
Jonathan, that's exactly what, you know, I want to say 99% of cancer patients experience, right? There are a few and far between that are very analytical, critical thinkers and really think things through and don't let their emotions take over. But for the vast majority, it's the fear and panic take over, and they make a fear-based decision to rush into treatment that they don't understand, right? That they don't know how effective it is. They don't know what the side effects are going to be. They don't know what the damage is going to be to their body. And yet they just feel like it's their only option, and they're so afraid that they're just going to die if they don't do treatment. And many of them die after doing treatment. The death rate for cancer has only improved 5% overall in the last 60 years. And you think about the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been spent developing new drugs and therapies and research, and yet we've made a 5% improvement across the board. Right now, that's an average. So some cancers have improved, like childhood leukemia, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and testicular cancer. They've had big improvements, but the vast majority of major cancers and the most common cancers, breast, colon, lung, have made almost zero improvement in the death rate.
For those, I know this is a serious topic. It's why we went a little bit over in terms of Natural Health 365 program timing. I get that, but cancer is really serious. Square One program is available. You see the link above this podcast. If you're on the naturalhealth365.com website, you'll see the link also on the podcast page for the show that you're listening to. Hey, if you downloaded this podcast and you're listening to it outside somewhere out and about, that's great. Just go back to naturalhealth365.com and you will easily see a link where you can click and go right to the page where you can learn more about the Square One program, which, Chris, you are personally backing this up. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this is your program. You're here to help people every step of the way. And for those people who are really looking for a really broken down, simple, not easy, I don't want to sugarcoat this, no pun intended, but a simple step-by-step program backed by somebody who's already gone through this quite a bit. Chris, you're there for people, right?
Absolutely. So I'll take a minute and explain what Square One is. So I've coached cancer patients for years one-on-one, and the demand got to be too much. And so eventually I just realized, like, I need to put all this in a program so I can reach more people. And so I created a 10-part video coaching program. It's 10 one-hour video modules, and it is packed with information on how to radically transform your life and do the things that I did to heal cancer, and the same things that I've observed many, many, many people who've also healed cancer that I've interviewed and met in person and all kinds of stuff did to heal. So it's not just what I did, but it's taking all the strategies used by people who've healed cancer with nutrition and natural therapies and a radical diet and lifestyle change, and incorporated them into this program in a very, very simple, straightforward way. But yes, when you say it's simple but not easy, that's true. It's there's simple strategies, but you have to make these big life changes, right? But, you know, again, I don't want to scare anyone away from it. But the point is, this is very powerful stuff. It's all backed by evidence-based research from around the world. It's just fascinating stuff. But so what we go through in the course is we go through mindset and attitude. There's two modules all about the anti-cancer diet, the specific foods that you need to eat every single day. There's a module about how to identify and eliminate chronic toxic stress in your life. There's a module that's focused all about detoxification. There's a module about spiritual healing and my faith journey. And then there's a module about supplementation, key supplementation, exercise and rest, and testing and monitoring your progress. And I'm putting the entire course online. It's normally a paid program, but I'm putting the entire course, all 10 modules, online for free in September, starting September 12th. You just tune in and watch the whole thing. It's just sort of my gift to the world. Like, here you go. Here's the course. Go through it. Take notes, like, you know, like incorporate it into your life. And I know, I mean, based on the feedback we got, and I get feedback from it every day, but we did a big free screening event in February, and people just loved it so much. I mean, the just gushing, raving thank yous were just made it all worth it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I have nothing else to add except to simply say, if this resonates with you, please give it a try. Chris, I want to thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jonathan. Great to talk to you.
The show was brought to you by NaturalHealth365.com. Are you looking for natural health solutions? Visit NaturalHealth365.com for a free subscription to our newsletter, free shows, plus some great gifts. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join us next week for another great show.